Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, and I'm going to be doing some Betty Boop giveaways at Conrad Seafood on Friday, May the 6th. But right now, I am drinking the Royal Farms coffee out of my Cole Roofing mug here. Bill Cole joins us now, live via satellite. He was detained during March and early April. Man, you missed opening day. You missed March, May. But here's one thing you didn't miss. The World Cup coming to Baltimore. And I know you have refined taste now as far as global sports. I mean, you've picked up various things on the side, aside from Ravens and O's, as the O's continue to flounder. But how are you, man? Good day to you. Thanks for the call.
I'm good. Yeah, no, I'm glad to see the mug is still kicking, that we didn't lose it or break it in the meantime. So that's always a good, good week's work.
I'm weirdly attached to it. I really am.
That's good. Strange things like that happen in our lives. You never know. So
well,
it's fine.
The strangest thing ever. And nobody is like onto this yet, maybe. I don't know. Like that the World Cup could be playing like lots of games here. And for the first time ever, and I told this to Steve Goff from the Washington Post, who I've known for 35 years covering soccer back in the 1980s when I had a notebook at the newspaper. Steve Goff came on and I said, "It's the first time you people need us. You know, the Washington bid needs our stadium and our downtown thing and our stadium where the toilets flush and we're right on the line. I mean, they're going to run that MARC train up and down."
Sure.
Wow. I mean, this would be an unbelievable thing for Baltimore.
Yeah. Did I see like something about all games will be played at M&T Bank Stadium?
See, this is where I had to do a little work, okay? Because the announcement happened, and I've been in on this from the beginning, right? I've told this story. I think you knew me back in 2010. I did a soccer festival with Scott Westcode, one of the great people ever, who lives out in Colorado now. We did a soccer event on the square. Don Moeller was a part of it. Nancy Hafford. Kevin Kamenetz was the CE then. It was after Jim Smith. It was first term Kamenetz. We had the square at Towson, right on the plaza at the Towson Government Plaza. And we put up big screens that Comcast Xfinity never paid the $10,000 bill for. If you see Paul at Comcast, please tell him I'd like my 10 grand back. But nonetheless, we threw an event that day and they brought me a USA jersey. I could go find it. It said 22 on it. The number was 22 and it had Baltimore on the back. Terry Hasseltine brought that to me. And, I was all about soccer, the World Cup, Baltimore, a bid, our stadium, like all that, thinking like the harbor, this natural setting that I saw in Berlin in 06 would be a place they could bring barges in with screens and you could have the Spanish fans on one side and the Korean fans or whatever, whoever's playing, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But so I dreamed this dream. I took it to Ed Hale. I took it to Stephanie Rawlings Blake. I took it downtown to Bopa or whoever, whatever was running or not running, whatever thing in 2007, 8, 9, 10. I took this idea to do this thing and then I did it myself. I lost my ass. It was the worst idea I've ever had. I've never lost more money. Again, Comcast, thank you very much for not paying the bill. So this was in 2010. I almost went broke, literally. It was it was after the market crash, terrible. So I did this event in 10 and all I had to show for it was a Baltimore 22 jersey trying to get the 22 World Cup, which would have been this. Only to find out how flagrantly, horrifically corrupt the FIFA people were, right? They wind up giving Russia and Qatar, these authoritarian governments, because there were bags load of money that the American guy was in on. Google Chuck Blazer. You can Google Donald Trump next to his name because he lived in Trump Tower. But Google Chuck Blazer, B-L-A-Z-E-R. He's dead. And I talked about all of this stuff. But the notion that when I was at this press conference last summer boiling, that this was like in some way more than a pipe dream or a non-reality. Maybe all along they realized that the Achilles heel of the D.C. bid was going to be FedEx Field. But I thought, they're FIFA. They take bags of money. They don't care about the pitch. They need the World Cup in Washington. Apparently FIFA came in and the toilets aren't flushing and the railings are falling and Dan Snyder might be in prison by then. And who knows that they they hated the stadium. So they hated the stadium so much, and Baltimore's here with like a whole bid that they're like FIFA. And apparently, from all the information I've gotten, and again, you can go watch Steve Goff, you can watch Eric Fisher, Marty Conway's coming on. I'm having Kenny Cooper on today to talk about the World Cup of Baltimore. So it's going to be great. But the rub in all of this is that we're sitting here with full infrastructure to do it. And DC, because traditionally the capital of the host country, kicks off the games where the host country comes out with a flag and the U.S. team would host Morocco or whatever in the opener. We're not far off. We're 4 years off on this. This is not far. This isn't 2032 or some subway that's never going to get built. This is like they're going to make a decision on this. And I can't begin to tell you how big this would be for Baltimore, right? But I don't think people are thinking about it. Like if we got an all-star game, they'd be crazy. If we had a Super Bowl, they go, this is like a month's worth of Super Bowls. This would be better than any Super Bowl we could ever have here. I've been to 28 Super Bowls. I've been to one World Cup. This World Cup here, if we get the bid, we get all the games. And FIFA and the North American soccer community made this happen because DC was unacceptable. The only way to get DC under the rope was to use our stadium for all the games.
Yeah, but I'm trying to do some research here as you're talking. Like, I thought when it was in Brazil, there were like six stadiums they used.
They built things. They built all the stadiums in Qatar. So I can answer all this for you. I'm a little bit of a World Cup nerd, right?
I mean, I understand. Kind of,
you know,
yes.
I traveled to the World Cup. I planned to go to South Africa. I at one point, and this is because of Scotty P. So next time you're down there on Meatball Monday, Scotty P. and I in 2002 made plans to go to South Korea and Japan for the World Cup, and he bailed. We didn't go. And they went to the Great Eight. They won all. It was the year they were amazing. We threw huge parties down. And people still email me about the parties we threw down in Canton for the Mexico game back in 2002. So this has been a couple of decades of me wanting something like this, losing a ton of money on a soccer festival here, thinking that someday, somehow, some way, our city could be a part of this. And it's different than and people are like, the IRL. And I know you're into F1, and I'll give you your space on that. But, and it's different than an Army-Navy game or Ohio State's coming to town. We're playing a couple of cross games and 30,000 people might show up. This is a whole different level. This is like, if we are Washington and we get their games, we'll get quarters. There'll be like six or eight games here. And we'll probably kick off the entire tournament, probably. Because the mall will be used like the river was used in Berlin. The mall in D.C. is where the watch party will be.
Right.
If you're going to the game in Baltimore, you go up to the train station and you get on the mark and you're in Baltimore 35 minutes. And it's no different than being in Sydney, Australia, where if you went to the Sydney games, that stadium's 80 minutes out of downtown. The Sydney. I went to that stadium to see Springsteen. It took me all night to get there on a subway.
Right. So it says there's 64 matches played.
Well, right. This is the difference with Brazil. There were 24 teams in the tournament. They're expanding the field to 48. There's going to be a lot more games in the World Cup in 26.
But this bid,
by the way, this is my cheap shot. It also allows the Italians to get in.
So it was post that. Right.
Yeah.
So the bid that we're putting in to win this is for all 64 games to be played at M&T Bank Stadium?
No. So here's how it's going to work. This is different. So much like South Korea and Japan in 2002, it's a multi-country bid. It is a North American bid. Here's what happened. And this is like, that's great that we're talking about this because people might be interested in this and it may lead them into a bigger pitch or a hole to learn about this. I remember the morning in 2015, and please, if you really want to learn, go listen to Grant Wall, go listen to Steve Goff, the people that I've had on. I mean, Grant Wall is the premier soccer writer in this hemisphere. And he took it 40 minutes. He lived in Baltimore. His wife is an epidemiologist who's on CNN. He lives up in New York now. Grant Wall's one of the great soccer writers the greatest soccer writer of our generation. So he came on and explained all this. He's got all these insiders. He doesn't think we're getting the bid, by the way. He thinks somehow there are 10 cities in his mind ahead of Baltimore, thinking Houston and Dallas will get the bid. So Mexico and Canada are in on the bid.
Right.
Toronto's getting games. Vancouver bailed because they lost all that money with the Olympics, right? I mean, it's not politically. Chicago bailed. Chicago just bailed after the Olympic stuff. At one point, Boston has bailed. Boston proper has said, we're not funding World Cup games in Foxborough.
Right.
But Mr. Kraft is in on this. So the NFL owners, led by the Hunt family, Lamar Hunt, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, is a lifer, has always wanted the World Cup here. He was the chairman in 94, bringing the World Cup here when it came here in 94, and nobody had heard of soccer back then, right? And the Rose Bowl and all that. So they're using MetLife and SoFi as primary stadiums. Jerry's World, Dallas will get a bid because of the stadium. But Kansas City, Santa Clara, places they played Super Bowls. Seattle has an amazing soccer community and a big bid. Canada FIFA pulled Vancouver back in, I guess, to give them games, right? Edmonton has a bid, and Edmonton has a really multicultural soccer community. And there's a thought that the mountain time zone would want games or have games. Denver also has a bid, but apparently not a very good one. Miami and Orlando are in on this, and there's a thought one or the other, and it won't be Orlando because they can't make money in that crappy stadium, that Citrus Bowl down there.
Let me back up a little bit. Has it already been determined that North America will host that year's World
2026
Cup?
Is North America. So in the middle of June, they're going to pick the cities. All of these cities are bidding, right? There are also some bids from Cincinnati, Nashville, some places that probably aren't going to get it.
Right.
But places that probably are. They're going to be 10 cities in America, 10 bids in America. Three in Mexico. Guadalajara, Mexico City, Monterey, they're in. Canada, Toronto's in. There's a thought that Edmonton and Vancouver, you know, might get a game or two or three, right? But in America, there's going to be 10 sites. So do the math on this. Boston's going to get games because of Kraft. New York has MetLife Stadium. They're getting games. Philadelphia has a crazy bid that Comcast, apparently, they took the 10 grand that they didn't pay me back in 2010, and they're all in the bid in Philly, that they have a true corporate all-in media sponsor, that the money, these are FIFA, dude. These are thieves.
Sure.
These are crooks. So the reason they gave North America the whole bid was to engage Mexico, great soccer country, engage Canada, the U.S. that have become this since 94, and give the whole bid to all of North America. So 10 cities, do the math, right? So like I only have 9.5 fingers, but New York, LA, Dallas, Miami, you know, the obvious places. And then there's Atlanta, Philadelphia, Boston, Seattle, sort of the next round, that Santa Clara, that feel obvious. How does DC compete with that with a crappy stadium? Well, they weren't. So the bid is now Baltimore and DC with the thought that Baltimore will get the games. Baltimore will be the stadium.
Got it.
And DC will be the party. And that's how they get DC in and keep the nation's capital in and fly the flag and do all of that.
So you'll get, you said 10, 12, 14, 13. So you're going to get like four games, five games?
No. Some sites will only get two. Some, like, if you go back through the history of the World Cup, and I've been looking at this for a long time, there are some places that only get two games that just get a kiss on the cheek to be participatory. So in other words, like, instead of saying Dallas, you get eight, and Houston, you get eight, you know what? You get four and you get four. And Baltimore, instead of you getting eight, you get four. You get six. You know, Boston, you're in, but you only get four because MetLife, we're doing eight in MetLife. We're doing 10 at SoFi. We're and doing like eight in Miami. You know,
the championship game will be in Mexico City.
No, the championship game will be at MetLife in New York, probably, or SoFi. And there's also a thought the LA bid has the Rose Bowl involved. Right. So the Rose Bowl and SoFi, there could be two sites in LA. So that's another, and that's not uncommon. There were three sites in Johannesburg. Right. You know, when it was
Vegas,
in Paris or three
isn't Vegas now the sporting capital of the world, you know? So they'll
Vegas,
have
no get, bid they'll in Vegas. Vegas does not have a bid. No, Vegas is not
and,
a part of
it. And you said Chicago's out.
Chicago's right? out, right? Correct. And Denver doesn't smell good for some reason. For some reason. I don't know why. This is according to Grant Wall. But Grant Wall did the math and said we're still 11th. That it's going to take a Houston, Seattle, Santa Clara, Atlanta. I mean, everybody thinks Philadelphia's in. Philadelphia right. apparently has the strongest financial bid from all the non-New York LA places, right? Or Jerry Jones. But the NFL's weigh in on this because of the stadium.
Right. So what are like what kind of economic impact do they project? You know what I mean? Like if you get two games, is that I don't know. That's 140,000 people that come to the stadium that didn't previously.
I'm glad
come,
you're asking me about this because I'm having Pete Carinci on later from UMBC. And Pete's play to me, and Pete's been involved with this from the beginning. And, you know, Pete's a soccer coach, but he's also, you know, pretty worldly guy about the World Cup. The right. issue with all of the teams, and I think this through, they come and base in a place, right? So the right. U.S. based in wherever they based in Brazil. In a city and in that hotel and they practice there and then you play every fifth day, give or take, right? So the tournament in the old tournament was 24. It was groups. You were guaranteed three games. When you got on the plane and flew to South Africa, you had three games. You get there 2 weeks ahead of time. You live in a hotel, you base. The media comes, the whole country comes when it's Germany or France or Portugal or anywhere. It's not here, right? So if the German national team based at the Four Seasons in the Inner Harbor because their games were Philadelphia, New York, Miami, and every German fan in the world wanted to be around the team and watch them practice for a month.
Right.
They would live in this city. Now, that could be the French team, the Italian team. It could be any team. Petey told me, and I'm going to talk to him again a little later on. You can go check all this out at Baltimore Positive. By the way, Bill Cole's here, Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He's my pal, and he was asking me about soccer. So
I can talk draft
and Orioles and all that, but this is the biggest sporting event in the world, and I really need to educate the audience as to how so you're asking me what the economic impact is. Well, is this a lacrosse weekend? Dude, this is a whole different thing that I thought we would never get games, right? I thought Terry Hazeltine, and I'll be glad to tell him this, we're barely in the top 10 and we have D.C. By the way, Kansas City's almost a shoe-in because of Lamar Hunt. You with me? So even though it doesn't sound normal, and their stadium's out in the hinterland, they're not a great site, and they may give them a kiss on the cheek and say, you only get two games. We're going to give Baltimore six games because they're attached to the D.C. bid and they have a better stadium. They have more skyboxes. They have hotels downtown. They have walkability. They have
Do we have practice facilities?
We can protect people, you know?
Right. Do we have practice facilities?
Well, this is where Petey comes in. UMBC, Loyola, Towson, Maryland, Morgan, down the list, right? Essex Community, these community colleges have nice places. All of these places are potential that if we lose the bid or if we win the bid, Terry Hazeltine and his people, the economic committee, gets on the phone with the Senegal folks and says, hey, you guys don't have the money that the French have, so maybe you want to stay at the Towson Sheridan and work out at Towson University during June of 2026 for three weeks, 4 weeks. You take over the hotel. We coordinate off. You're right by D.C. where all your diplomats and your politicians. That's why I thought this would work, Billy. Dude, you have no idea. I did not have a Cole Roofing mug. My wife would tell you how many times we sat on the promenade right below my finger, literally at this park right here. And I looked out over the harbor when I came back from Zurich, Switzerland, Amsterdam, and four cities in Germany. And this is before the kid saved my wife's life. We were in his hometown in Dortmund. And I came back and I dreamed the dream that this would be a place in 2010 and 14 and 18 that could make a 22 World Cup bid real here, that we would get games, would be to have the city come all in on a festival. And the reason the festival would work here is we're on the train line. DC has the most international community in east of the Mississippi. New York's 3 hours away. That if we put games on barges and made it Disneyland for a month. Now, this is before all the crime and like all right, this. Right. This is in 2007 and 8 and 9. This is when the Orioles were in the tank and the Ravens had just won the first Super Bowl and Billick was still the coach. Like, this is how far back I'm going. That I took this concept of Soccer Town America, USA, to influential people in the city and in the state at the time and said this would be a great idea because people would sit on Federal Hill and watch barges and the whole harbor would light up at what Light City was, but do that around a soccer ball every fourth year around the World Cup. And people would come. So this was a dream I had about doing something in this vein. The fact that we're 6 weeks away from maybe getting games, eight. If we got one game, it'd be a big deal, but we won't get one. We'll get four, six, eight. It'll be like that. It'll be a significant package because DC is getting none. We're getting their games.
Right.
The news came out weekend on a Friday news dump.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really big deal because it would be a month long, incredible. It would be bigger than any Super Bowl by exponentially, man. Like, I've been to Super Bowls. If we had a Super Bowl, people would show up on Thursday. People from New York would take the train down and they wouldn't come at all. So all of that, it would either be a local regional thing the way it was in Indianapolis at the Super Bowl, or it wouldn't be the economic impact that you think. I mean, I've been to Jacksonville and Detroit and these oddball places that get Super Bowls, Atlanta. And to some degree, it's more trouble than it's worth for a lot of the, like the IRL was way more trouble. How's your F1 life doing? You doing all right with that?
No, well, yeah, but so I think we should find out what it takes to put up at least a practice field in the harbor. Like, even that would be really cool. So if one of the teams is staying in one of the downtown hotels, we put a temporary practice facility that floats out in the harbor that they can practice on every day and people can watch. That would be really cool. I'm not sure how that is capitalism, but it's still really cool.
It's bigger than you can conceptualize because of the rapidity of fans. Like, whether it's El Salvador playing here or Trinidad playing here or Morocco playing here or Senegal playing here or, whoever would be playing here. It would be insane. They will sell every ticket in this country.
I think I would love to be able to sort out, and maybe this is probably handled by someone, but whatever. Like, any of the teams that stay local to Baltimore, right? They are here for a long time, and there is tons of like downtime. So trying to figure out how to coordinate an experience with those teams and kids in our community, you know what I mean? There's a pretty good soccer fever in our town, I believe, you know what I mean? Like it keeps growing and growing and growing. And I think we went through the complete know nothing period. And now we're in this like teenage years where it's really sort of ugly as we try and figure out what club soccer is and all this stuff. And it's kind of a mess.
Grant Wall said this to me, the over 40 crowd, you and me, soccer was never cool. Like other than Kenny Cooper. And we'll talk to him about that. And, one of the reasons Pete Carinci always loved me is because soccer wasn't cool, but I tried to make it cool, bring it in with the Orioles and the Ravens and the other things that are going on, as I've always done. I've hosted World Cup parties and all of that stuff. But like, if you're under 40, I had Carl Delmon on last week talking about the Harrisburg Heat and his team and his Celtic team and like kids playing soccer. Yep. Like it's not by 2026, your 14-year-old is going to be 18. Your 16-year-old is going to be 20. Like soccer is by far cooler than baseball in this country by a lot. And by 2026, when the whole world comes here and people understand it a little better, and especially if in this community we get games, it just would be the upset of all upsets. It'd be the biggest thing that's happened here from an upset standpoint since the Ravens came here.
Well, we should totally change the way you talk about that. Like, at what point do we stop talking about ourselves as the underdog, or do we just love being the underdog? We do love being the underdog, but like, how can you come to this country? How can you come to North America and not have soccer in Baltimore?
There like, you go. The, I like that.
Look at the picture behind you. Look at the picture behind you. Like, give me a break.
Right.
Like that. Yeah. It's pretty exciting.
That's what Terry's saying, and that's what they're saying. Yeah. And now they're saying this. So I want to give you a little story because I don't know that I've told this one on the air much. Back in 2006, I was Budweiser sponsored, right? So I was going to go to the World Cup, and we wrangled a hockey Meg and her boyfriend, Kenny Ball game. And the four of us, my wife and the two of them, we went over to Amsterdam, and we got a flat for 2 weeks that was 90 minutes here to Philadelphia away from games. So we had a rental car. We didn't train. We drove because I got the speeding ticket going through Arnhem. And we went into Gelsenkirchen for the U.S. game. We went into to Dortmund to see Trinidad play Sweden. And I have video of all this. You can find this is 16 years ago now, right? But the interesting story is I really wanted to go to the U.S.-Italy game, which was the big game. It was in Kaiserslautern in the Rhineland down south near Switzerland, actually near Italy, not far from Italy. And the tickets were – it was a Super Bowl ticket. In 2006, it was a $2,000 ticket. And Budweiser said to me, we can get you tickets for any game you want except that. We can get you semifinals tickets if you want to go to Berlin, you know, see Argentina play, whatever. And we're like – and the World Cup is one of those things that it starts June 8th and ends July 12th. It's five weeks long. You pick the beginning or the end. And if I wanted to take quarterfinal games in sights and just say I'm going to be in Berlin – Budweiser would have given me, sold me, but the tickets were reasonable. They were $80. Right. They were really, they were legitimate corporate tickets that I bought, and I bought them for the two games they offered them. And I'm like, well, it'll be a good time. We're going to get see the U.S. play their first game. U.S. gave up a goal 30 seconds in, another goal 2 minutes in. They got their ass kicked by the Czech Republic. It was horrific. And it was in this awful Metrodome dome in Gelsenkirchen that had no charm. And we got our ass kicked. The tailgate was good, but it was awful. So we drove back and then we went into Dortmund to see, we went to the Trinidad Sweden. So we went to two World Cup games, beat the drums, drove into Germany, checked our passports, got speeding tickets, and hung out in Amsterdam every day. Every day in Amsterdam was a party. There were three games a day, all day long. The Brazilians, we were on a boat in the canals. The Brazilians were hanging off of balconies, singing Brazilian songs every day for 10 days in Amsterdam. It was less fun to get in the car and go to the game than it was to just hang out in Amsterdam, right?
Sure.
So we were there. I think we got our flat for maybe a week. Maybe it wasn't 2 weeks. It was a week. It was a little blur, but here's the story. In April of 06, it was May, my wife and I were in New York seeing this rainforest benefit. Sting, Billy Joel, James Taylor, Sheryl Crow. It was unbelievable. It was at Carnegie Hall. We leave Carnegie Hall. We drove up. We were tired as hell. We went to Carnegie Hall. We needed to eat. We didn't eat before the show. We got stuck in traffic. We said, let's eat after the show. 11 o'clock at night, we go into a New York, a beautiful restaurant, but we're sitting down and you know how the tables are so close you can't help but hear the person next to you talking. Right. The place empties out. It's 1 o'clock in the morning and this couple, two tables over, ordered this really sexy dessert. It was beautiful. Had all this stuff on it. And I looked over and we were eyeing it up as to whether we were going to get one. And I said, that looks good. You know, what is that? And they're like, this. They said, you want a bite? And we're like, no, but you know, thank you. And we struck up a conversation. The dude turns out to be the VP of global marketing for Philips, the TV people. They make my Sonic toothbrush, right?
I gotcha. Yep.
We get to talking about Europe and the World Cup and bip, 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 bip. He's like, you need World Cup tickets? And I'm like, well, we're going over. I couldn't get the tickets for the Italy-US game. You want them? I got as many as you need. What do you need? This is like 8 minutes into a dessert with this guy. And I'm in New York, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
You can have a spoon of ice cream or a World Cup ticket.
So these are $2,000 like tickets that you cannot get anywhere. Everybody in Italy's selling their children to drive 3 hours into Germany and see Italy right. play the United States of America. And by the way, this is the Italian team that won the World Cup. Right. So this is a legendary Buffon. I mean, just all the great players, right?
Sure.
So the guy says to me, and I'm like, it's late at night. You're not BSing me. He's like, no. He said, I could take my card. He said, I'm doing a really special thing. You know what he was doing? He was taking firefighters over to Europe, and firefighters from all over the world. Philips sponsored this. They brought firefighting soccer teams. If you had a firehouse in Brazil, a firehouse in Frankfurt, Germany, a firehouse in London, Philips put together a thing that they flew firemen who played soccer over to in 06 now. This is after 9/11, that it was a celebration to honor World Trade Center. And Philips did this. And he said, I don't know anyone in Kaiserslautern. So unless you're there that day, if you're willing to be there, I'm willing to give you 2 tickets. I'll give you 4 tickets. You know, he said, whatever you want. My wife and I left that night. I think I went back to the hotel and I called United Airlines and started moving flights around. We right. wound up going to Zurich, Switzerland. So I saw another celebration. We moved all of our flights around on 4 weeks' notice because I had 2 tickets. And we went to the game, and the U.S. tied Italy. It was one of the greatest memory. McBride bleeding. The stadium was built in 1912 or 1914. Hitler gave rally speeches in this stadium. The stadium's like the Lambeau Field, old school in Kaiserslautern. You have to walk up a hill to get the stadium's on a hill. It was built in like 1910, 12, World War I. So like, I've had these crazy soccer experiences, right? So to think that things like pitches out on the harbor and all this thing you're thinking of, this is where the corporate people get involved. And I still tip my cap to Phillips and my friend who, Steve, still in my life, 16 years daughter, went to Towson State. So we've had lunches together. We're still involved. But this guy I met gave me tickets for a World Cup game, and it was that big of a deal. And it was one of the greatest sporting events I've ever attended. I mean, it was 45,000 Italians singing, Volare.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Cantare, so that sort of spirit and what I saw in Dortmund, what I saw in Gelsenkirchen 16 years ago, to think that that could be coming to our city for a month for real, not like if we got a semifinal game or a quarter or something like that, it would be bigger than any Super Bowl. And I guess
I'm
screaming into the woods, screaming about it, Billy, but I right. don't think people really understand what a big deal this is.
No. And I think real, like you said, I think it's the, if for some reason, the way the schedule breaks out, like the German team or the Italian team or the English team or the French team or the Brazilian team, you know, like.
Well, Baltimore's going to be a great place to base because of the train, because of
sure.
transportation, and all of that.
These people travel, and it's that whole concept of when we have an opportunity to bring people to our town, they never leave disappointed. Like, people are always amazed at how cool Baltimore is once they come here.
Well, the FIFA committee apparently came in for a Raven game last year that was lively and saw the stadium full. Keeping in mind, we've put on 2 really big soccer games down there that have sold out. I mean, that right. the Chelsea game was as big an event as ever been in that state. It was the hardest sure. ticket. It was up there with the Broncos playoff ticket or anything. I mean, it was a $300 get-in for a friendly.
Sure. Sure.
For real. I was out sure. on the street and saw it. People couldn't get in and sure. to see Ronaldinho play, right? So I know what the potential of this is bigger than anything anybody realizes. And I really have to tip my cap to Terry for getting it to this point, you know, after 15, yeah. 16 years, because it's beyond my wildest expectation. It's allowed me to tell these stories that have been in my golf bag for years and years and years about dreams and hopes and things I've experienced that I've wanted for Baltimore, you know, really.
So I don't know how you do it, and I don't know what the right place to do it is, but you know, when they run Preakness somewhere during the broadcast, there needs to be someone with the sign that says, like,
bring the World Cup here,
World yeah. Cup next, you know, here. And then any of these sort of potentially internationally viewed broadcasts. We have to figure out a way to get someone to hold a World Cup Baltimore sign that gets on the broadcast. Like, we need to start planting all these subliminal messages in all these people. And all, I mean, I don't know what else you do. Dude, right?
You're a really big sports fan, and your kid plays soccer, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and you didn't even know how many games are in the World Cup or how they.
I mean,
literally,
concept, but this I don't understand the management of all the cities and all that stuff. So it's very fascinating, you know.
Middle of June, I'm being told right around June 15th, 16th, 17th, they're not going to make any announcements the first 2 weeks. But in the third week of June, they're going to set this. So there's 6 more weeks of lobbying, pushing, pulling.
I just don't know what that means. I don't know what you do as a concerned, excited citizen. I don't know what that means, right?
Well, the first thing is understanding what it is and understanding the value of it, and there's understanding the conversation around this is not the IRL, right? You know what I mean?
We just got that. Right? We're good. You just downloaded us, and now we're saying, well, hell yeah, I want a bunch of European people hanging out in Fells Point throwing parties every day. Of course we want that. They drink a lot of beer. They eat a lot of crab cakes. Let's go. How do we do this?
We're going to be an affordable place for them, too. We're going to be Absolutely. The place that New York and D.C. are going to be like, how much? And here we're going to say, no, come on in, stay for a week. Sure. Be Airbnb our flat, you know, do all that stuff, right?
Right. Or stay out in Hunt Valley at that, whatever that one hotel is that's right on Schwann Road, you know? Yeah. And then take the light rail downtown for the game or for the parties or whatever. I mean, there's so many things that people can put together to make it fun. Sure.
What's your F1 thing? You've been watching F1? What's that all about?
You know, it's like a friend mentioned something and I like, yeah, whatever. I have no idea. Sure. Sounds cool. And then Netflix has the Drive to Survive series, which is like, reality TV.
Hard Knocks. Like, yeah, it's Hard Knocks.
Yeah, Hard Knocks. There you go. That's what it is so, the cars are so technically advanced, you know, like technology. The business is crazy. The money is ridiculous. And like, you know, it's just a really good, solid.
Well, you come from a car family. Your dad loves cars.
But I've never, I can appreciate a good looking car. You know what I'm saying? But I don't have any. I didn't grow up.
Have you been to a race? Have you ever been to NASCAR? You didn't come downtown for IRL? Nothing?
Nope.
Well, the IRL, first off, really loud, really fast, you know, like really loud. Like the first thing when they started zooming around my building downtown, knew that. But when I went to NASCAR, I went to Dover like 1998. I got old pictures of it. You know, the Budweiser car was, Elliot was the driver. I was in the pit, all that stuff. It's just, very, very fast. It's faster than television. It hurts your eyes. Your eyes can't follow it. It goes so fast.
So the build up to this interest is, and it like my enjoyment is around the business, right? Like we can talk about that and whatever. That's so once they start to peel the curtain back a little bit, like I met a guy who they had been a NASCAR sponsor in the truck series. And then weirdly, I meet a roofing friend of mine who he actually sponsors a truck in the NASCAR truck series, Rackley Roofing, if you want to go pick a truck to root for in the truck series. And then you start to find out about the business. I'm talking to my buddy. I'm like, are you making any money on this truck? Hell no, we don't make any money. It's a total it's a passion and marketing. And I'm like, okay, fine. At least that's, you know what it is.
Well, it makes life more fun if you're but into then, it.
Yeah. I mean, like the, so.
I mean, dare I say anybody has a skybox at a Ravens game is really getting their money's worth. They're having fun. You know.
So here's the bizarre part. Imagine if, who's the 20th best quarterback in football? Pick a name, anybody.
Matt Ryan right now is what I'll give you.
That's a bad example because he won't work for my story.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, he fits every story.
Yeah, no, he doesn't either because he's been around too long. But let's talk about Jared Goff, right? So Jared Goff, if he was a NASCAR driver, would probably pay $1 million to the team to be able to drive the car. And then if he goes through a season and he wins a bunch, all of a sudden it changes.
Well, it's like being a golfer. You're paying to be out there unless you cash, right? Like literally.
Yes, I guess.
Your costs are sunk, then you just have to go win the prize
money. This is like literally, you know, I'd like to be the driver of your truck series truck. So I'm going to pay you $600,000 for you to give me the seat because I believe I can drive your truck and win enough races that someone is then going to choose to pay me. Like, that's pretty bizarre.
Well, that means you really want to drive a truck.
The other one, right. The other one was Netflix, again, has the story of Bubba Wallace and like his 2021. And like he's the only African-American driver in NASCAR and went through all the stuff during the pandemic and the Black Lives Matter. And, it, you know, so it takes you through that those times. But again, peels the curtain back a little bit on the world. Denny Hamlin, who is a NASCAR driver, and Michael Jordan own a NASCAR team that Bubba Wallace drives for. Meanwhile, Denny Hamlin drives for a car that I think is owned by Joe Gibbs and races against his driver and his team every weekend and has to decide, like at the end, whether he should win or whether he should let his team driver win. It's just, there's some weird stuff in all this auto racing things that I was never really aware of.
It's like a trainer having three horses in the Kentucky Derby, right?
Yes, it is. It's very fascinating. And both those series kind of give you a little bit of business, a little bit of competition, a little bit of sport. You know, like it's
suck
fun
me
watches.
In. I got yeah, it. Yeah, right. Yeah. There's no problem. Yeah, yeah. You know, the NFL draft has me sucked in this week, right? And we're trying to figure out if baseball is going to have us sucked in before it's all over with here. But in the meantime, I got World Cup fever and I can't.
I get it.
And it's very exciting. I just need to express to people what a Baltimore positive concept this is, having World Cup games. You know,
I agree.
Tell me what you do. Getting on roofs. When you're going to fix my roof soon too. So I want to give you some love. Go ahead.
Right. We got roofs. You know, things are seemingly pretty good for everybody. There's a
just
lot
order
of problems.
Early. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. Well, the lead times are sort of stabilizing. So now we can at least build schedules 13 months out, but solar panels, lots of problems in that world, lots of issues at the federal level around Commerce Department investigating China, and it's just caused everyone to like freeze. Shipments to the U.S. are down.
Do we make panels in this country, or are they all made abroad?
We do, just not very many. And then we do in U.S. manufacturing plants that are owned by Chinese firms and stuff like that. So
is the technology Chinese?
I don't really know the answer to that. Like, was it U.S. technology that China then stole when we sent it over there to get manufactured? Now they brought it back. I don't know. Like, I have no idea.
It's
all
probable.
I know is that we're trying to ramp up production in this country, but it's not a drop in the bucket. And then while we have problems with whether it's COVID lockdowns or shipping issues or commerce, you know, U.S. Department of Commerce investigations, all that stuff is putting tons of friction around all of it. And it's what is wildly frustrating is when our government leaders stand in front of everybody and tell everybody how much they need everybody to go solar, but then we're really not dealing with any of the friction around the business.
We're getting to the point now, I think here in this country over the next 10 years, we're making stuff ourselves is going to have to be what we do. And, you know, and more of that made in America that we had back in the 70s here. It's pretty obvious that the plague should have opened eyes to that. Billy, I appreciate you, man. We'll get together and we'll argue some more and debate more next week. And we'll have Ravens draft picks to talk about. We'll have a Ravens schedule in a couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. Really appreciate you, brother.
World Cup Baltimore, go.
There he is. World Cup Baltimore. Go. Bill Cole. Cole Roofing. Didn't even know what the hell soccer ball was 45 minutes ago. Now look at him. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking the beautiful game of football and Baltimore Positive.